From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns concludes his seventh message in a series expounding the 53rd chapter of Isaiah's prophecy. The title of the message is Full Atonement. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Prayer for Peace. The text is Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 7. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. The principle involved in this text would suggest to all of us who are the Lord's strangers and foreigners that we should be desirous to promote the peace and prosperity of the people among whom we dwell. Especially should our nation and our city be blessed by our constant intercession. An earnest prayer for your country and other countries is well becoming in the mouth of every believer. Eagerly let us pray for the great boon of peace, both at home and abroad. If strife should cause bloodshed in our streets, or if foreign battle should slay our brave soldiers, we should all bewail the calamity. Let us therefore pray for peace, and diligently promote those principles by which the classes at home and the races abroad may be bound together in bonds of amity. We ourselves are promised quiet in connection with the peace of the nation, and this is most desirable. For thus we can bring up our families in the fear of the Lord, and also preach the gospel without let or hindrance. Today let us be much in prayer for our country, confessing national sins, and asking for national pardon and blessing, for Jesus' sake.
Our hope for years to come. Be thou our guide, our life shall last. O God, our help, our hope, and our return.
Under the shadow of thy throne still may we dwell secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, our earth received her frame. Receive her frame from everlasting. Thou art God, to endless years the same, to endless years the same. O God, our help in ages past, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come.
Our help, our hope, and our
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. this series of studies in Isaiah chapter 53, Dr. Cairns is expounding verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns has been calling attention to three elements presented in the verse. First, we've seen how sinners are like straying sheep, wandering after the world and Satan's lies to their destruction. Then, Dr. Cairns has described the stubborn sinner, who, unwilling to follow God's ways, insists on the ways of sin. Finally, we learn that verse 6 presents several aspects of the atonement. It was violent, for on the cross Christ suffered God's wrath against sin. It was also vicarious, for at Calvary Christ became the substitute for guilty sinners. In the last place, it was victorious. God the Father laid our sins on Christ, assuring our redemption. Now, with a final portion of a message called Full Atonement, here is Dr. Cairns.
There was a concentration of all our sin and all its punishment in Christ. That God actually brought our sin to bear on Christ. That he made it to meet on Christ. That all the guilt and all the punishment of our sin actually made contact with Christ. But even that is much too peaceful a statement to give the full force of this. When you read in the Old Testament of a man falling upon another with the idea of slaying him, that's the idea here. That's the very same word. This statement is in many ways a ferocious statement. It's a violent statement. It is saying that God made all the guilt of our sin to fall upon Christ with all its great fury and with all its tremendous ferocity. Now, it's not to say that Christ became a sinner. He didn't. But it is to say he bore our iniquity. He took our legal responsibility. And the consequences of that was the furious outpouring of the wrath of a sin-hating God. He made our sin and its guilt to fall furiously upon Christ. It was a violent note. Obviously, there is a vicarious note. That is a note of substitution. Our sins were laid on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. Man's religion is always a religion of men trying first to ignore their sin, and second, if they admit it at all, trying to atone for it. You get those two elements in all human religion. Trying to shirk responsibility for sin. I'm not such a great sinner. I'm as good as he is. Comparing themselves with themselves, the apostle says, they're not wise. It's a foolish thing for you to say, well, I'm not as big a sinner as he is. It's a foolish thing for you to say, well, there's a man who says he's a Christian, and I'm just as good a person as he is. So what? If that hypocrite goes to hell, will it make hell any less hell because you're there beside him? Not at all. It's always stupid to try to shirk the responsibility of sin. But it's even more foolish, having admitted the responsibility of sin, to try and atone for it yourself. I was reading of a Roman Catholic nun who went through what they call flagellation, almost to the point of death. This happens again and again. Whipping the body with a leather tong with nails or lead through it. With the idea that if I only suffer because of my sin, then I'll please God. As if our suffering for our sin can ever wipe out the wrath of God and satisfy the law of God. It's impossible. Paul puts it plainly, it is not by works of righteousness that we have done. We cannot be saved on account of our works. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. This is his statement. But rather, if we're ever to be saved, it must be by the substitutionary work of Christ. We read it this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2. It's actually taken from this 53rd chapter of Isaiah, where Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It's with his stripes we are healed, because the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. There is a vicarious note here. And thank God there is a victorious note here. I want you to watch carefully what it says. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Follow down to verse 12, the last verse of this chapter. You'll see in the last half of a fairly lengthy verse, he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many. And the last statement of the whole chapter, and he made intercession for the transgressors. He made intercession. Words are strange things. If you've ever had to translate from one language into another, you'll find that one of the most difficult things to do is to choose the particular shade of meaning a word has in a given context, because words are part of an idiom, and idiom changes, and you can use the same word to mean a whole variety of things. We found that out many years ago in a Latin class. We had the son of one of Belfast's very rich people there. That's the only reason he was there. He actually was one of those rather poor characters who had just about brains to get out of, know which side to get out of bed in the morning, and that was about it. He was doing Latin because he had to do a course. There was nothing else to do, and so he did it. We had a very difficult book to translate at that time. It was called Livy's Histories. Unlike all our other school books, it had no vocabulary at the back of it. We were supposed to be beyond that. We had a Latin dictionary about so thick, and every word had about 4,000 meanings, it appeared to us. And what he would do would be look up this dictionary, and he would go through and he would look up every word. Now, I don't want to give you any lesson in Latin, but take it that there are various different declensions of nouns. Every declension has six different parts in the singular, six different parts in the plural. Every verb has various parts of its conjugation. He never thought of any of those things. He just looked up the word. The first thing that he saw under that word, he stuck above it, and he had his own interlinear. It was history such as Livy never wrote. It was something that was not a work of beauty, but we had many a laugh, I can tell you. Words are like that. Now, I say all that to say this. Verse 6. The Lord hath laid on him. Notice the verb. Laid. Then come down to verse 12. He made intercession. Very different words to us, but they are exactly the same word as Isaiah wrote it. Remember that the marginal reading here is that God made our sins to meet on Christ. Our sins and our guilt and its awful penalty made literal, forceful contact with Christ. What is the outcome of that? He met it head on. He defeated our sin and its guilt. He carried away our punishment by fully bearing it and exhausting it. Now verse 12, the same verse, the same verb, the same word. He makes contact with God for us as our victorious intercessor. Our sins made contact with him, and Christ bore them all away. The result of that is that as the mighty conqueror, he makes contact with God for us. I want to tell you, my friend, in that contact that Christ makes for us, you have the very consummation of our salvation. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many. He makes contact with God for those transgressors. And he who victoriously made contact with our sin and destroyed our guilt and bore away our punishment with equal victory makes contact at the throne of grace. He is heard because he suffered. He is victorious in intercession because he was victorious at Calvary. There is not only a violent note, a vicarious note, there is, thank God, a victorious note. Now here is the good news of the gospel. Let me ask you a question as we finish up this morning. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Are you one of those people? Do you confess yourself to be the straying sheep of this text? Do you confess yourself to be the stubborn sinner of this text? As we consider these words this morning, I ask you simply and directly, honestly, does your heart stand condemned not only by God's word, but by itself, by your own conscience? Do you honestly and simply now before God say, Lord, I am that straying sheep. Lord, I am that stubborn sinner. I honestly acknowledge it and confess it. Let me ask you then, do you also confess that Jesus Christ is the sole Redeemer? That the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all? Is your sole hope in Christ? Today, do you turn to Christ instead of averting the face, instead of turning away to your own ways? Do you turn to Christ today and acknowledge him as your sole Redeemer? Do you look to him for relief from all your sin? If you do, then you can say, this text is for me. I'm included here. Like a sheep, I have gone astray. I have turned deliberately, irresponsibly, wickedly to my own way. But I look to Christ today. I own no other Savior. I trust no other Redeemer. My faith is in no other means of deliverance. I look to Christ who bore my sins in his own body on the tree. And I ask God for Jesus' sake to save my soul and bring me victoriously to glory. You come that way. You can walk out of this meeting today sure that you're saved. So sure indeed that your very name may as well be written in that text. You could say, this is God's good news for me. May God grant that personal saving interest in Jesus Christ to every one of you today for his name's sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Write it upon our hearts. We pray that thou wilt give the sweet blessing of assurance to all thy people that they may be rejoicing that sin has been put away, that guilt has been removed, that God's law has been satisfied, God's wrath has been placated, and they are now objects of God's eternal favor, a favor that will never be withdrawn because of the perfect and matchless and glorious obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that thou wilt show thy people their sins laid on Jesus. And we ask Thee, Lord, to remember those who are not saved. We pray that this day Thou wilt bring them to the end of themselves, to the end of their wandering. Oh, we pray that this will be the day that the great Shepherd and Bishop of their souls will reach to them and save them for His own name's sake. Lord, give souls grace this day to pass from death unto life by faith in Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer. Part us with Thy very richest blessing. And to Thee we'll give the praise and the honor and the glory. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.